Thank you. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy. Everybody say worthy for me, please. You know, Lisa talked about worthiness. He says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, and make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. And Lord, you have called folks here today, Lord, with a plan in mind. Some folks didn't make it. Lord, you still got a plan in mind. Lord, I pray an anointing upon our time today, Lord, as you would meet us here, Lord. I pray that you would bind every distraction, Lord, every hindrance, Lord. Pray your healing touch, Lord, come among us, Lord. I pray your Spirit come and move among us and give us guidance and direction, Lord, for this day, for this week, for this month, for this year, and for the rest of the time that we spend breathing on this planet, Lord. That your call would come out, Lord, clearly, that we would hear from you. And give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Hey, I got to ask you to do something. If you have one of these infernal contraptions, would you take your phone and put it on silent, turn it off, do something with that, okay? Because we don't want to be distracted. Can I get a witness? Amen. I mean, it is annoying. Here are phones going off, you know, and it's like, so you got to turn this stuff off. And, you know, the phones these days, they get so technical, right? I mean, you don't like one tone, you can try another tone, right? And some people, you know, this seems so artificial. Some people just go a little overboard, you know. It's like, come on now. You know, what I chose, what I like? Old school, you know. That's what I can hang with. Now, some of you folks, I'll tell you, down doing the food distributions on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, we don't do it on Thursdays anymore, you'll hear some rather unique rings. One of the most unique is Yaceli's ring. She has, what is that, a crying baby? A screaming baby?
It's somebody screaming message.
Oh, is that it? It just sounds like a screaming baby to me. I thought she recorded Marco one day or something. And I know, I haven't figured out how to do it on my phone, but my daughter reprograms my wife's phone with different rings for different people. You guys know how to do that? I mean, I don't know how to do that. But I know that it is so that when you're doing stuff without having to actually look at your phone, that you can know who's calling. And you can know whether or not you got to go run into that phone or whether or not you're just thinking, eh, voicemail can get this one. I got better stuff going on. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Now, today we're talking about the call of God. And my question for you is, what do you do when God rings? What is your response? Do you go running? Is it the most important call of the day? Or do you just go, I'll let voicemail get this one. I've got more important stuff going on. I'll just get back to God later. Today we talk about the call of God. We spent some time looking at the church, a place for you. Aren't you glad you're here?
Amen.
Amen. You're going, I don't know. It's a pretty stiff intro today, Pastor. Well, you're still going to be glad. We've been talking about the church. 3 weeks, we took 2 weeks off because Pastor Dave was preaching. We talked about the church, the Lord's plan for the church, and I likened it to a train heading to heaven, and that we would get saved and get on the train. And as we are headed toward heaven, the Lord does all kinds of stuff in us. And he is like a craftsman fashioning us. The Lord is the craftsman. We are the wood. You guys go downstairs. Martin and Mike. Mike rebuilt this door and Martin painted it. And Mike hung it down there for Elsie's class. And for the 2-year-olds. So you guys can see that down there. They were craftsmen working on the church. And the Lord is a craftsman, and he is working on each one of us. Amen? And he is fashioning us into a church. And my question for you is, where are you at in the process? As we move into the final three chapters of Ephesians, we have been studying the Lord and his work. We're going to kind of start focusing on you and your place in the church. First three chapters are on God. Final three chapters of Ephesians are on us. The Christian life. What comes next? And today we look at the call of God. And what do you do when God calls you? Amen? Because each one of us is called to make a change. All right. Point number one, the call of the Lord. As a prisoner for the Lord. That's a big call. Can I get a witness on that, being a prisoner? As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And we're going to take a look at Paul's call. Paul the Apostle is in prison in Rome. And in fact, he wrote this book. He says, I write this to you, this letter to the church in Ephesus. He also wrote a letter to the church in Galatia and to the church in Colossae, which we are studying on Wednesday nights. You are invited. I think that you will be blessed. So we have Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians written from prison. Some of the most incredible literature of all time. Right up there with the rest of the Bible. It's a good book. I hope you're spending some time in it. Amen? I believe. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You got to be in that word. There's a Bible study tomorrow morning. Ladies only. Sorry, gentlemen. We're working on some man stuff. But tomorrow morning at 9:30, right in this room, studying the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, with, what's that lady's name?
Kay Arthur.
Kay Arthur. Yeah, she's well known, except by me. All right. Paul goes through incredible effort in his response to the call of God. Incredible sacrifice. Pays an incredible price with his life. We can ask ourselves, was it worth it? You might not ask yourself that. Maybe not even think about it. But how great of a man was Paul? How much of an impact did Paul have? And based on your answers to that, and realistically, up until modern times, with the ability to broadcast to millions of people with a single sermon or a message through internet and through video and streaming, all kinds of stuff, Paul's probably the greatest evangelist the world had ever seen. And based on the impact of his life, you can do an evaluation on whether or not his effort was worth it. Is it worth it? Is it a worthy effort? Is it a good effort? Paul was a pretty radical guy, being an apostle, called. Why the sacrifice? He was called by God. He opens the letter to the church in Corinth, and he says, I'm Paul. I was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God spoke out and communicated to Paul and said, I want you to work for me. I want you to impact the planet for me. Aren't children just a blessing?
Yes, they are.
In Mexico, we used to, when I preached, sometimes dogs would walk into the church. I'd much rather deal with children than dogs. Paul was called by God. Come and work for me. The Bible is filled with people that were called by God. Moses was called by God. Matthew, called by God. Mary, called by God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, called by God. Leave what you know, follow me. Joseph, Jacob, called by God. Joshua, make a difference with your life. Is it worth it? Is it worthy? Many people are called. Some say no. Some say, let that go to voicemail. Jesus called people. He said to another man, follow me. When the Lord says, follow me, I hope that the first word out of your mouth is not but, or not if, or not later. He said, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. I got some other stuff that's in the way. He said to another man, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And we can find all kinds of things that get in our way in responding to the call of God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? See, the call of God is still going out. The message goes out. I'm calling you. What do you do when you hear the ring? Do you let voicemail pick up or do you go running? See, God is calling you. God is still speaking to people. Can I get a witness on that? God speak to your heart? Yeah, and you know what his voice sounds like. You know what it means to hear from God. See, it's not just Mary and Moses and Matthew that get a call of God in their lives. It's not just Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not just Pastor Bob. It's not just Pastor Dave. It's just not Lisa. But it's everybody in this place. He says, you are called. Paul talks about the call on all the church. He said, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. He's writing to this whole church of Colossae. He's talking to all the people who read this letter. There's a call that goes out. And I want to share with you that God has a specific call for everybody in this room, and he has a specific purpose for everyone in this room. You gentlemen are here today, 10:45. You must have been here before, because we used to meet at 10:45. I don't know how long. When did we shift? A few years ago. We're glad you're back. You know why? God's got a plan. God's got a plan for everybody in this room. Check it out. Ephesians chapter 2. Where is it? There we go. We are God's workmanship. You, remember I showed that picture of that craftsman? You are God's workmanship. Everybody in this room created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Not to do lousy works. Not to do some works. Not to just rest. But to do good works. Which works? I'll tell you what, there's a lot of folks doing the wrong stuff. Wasting their time. You ever waste your time on a project? Doesn't this kind of work out? Amen. You're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Whose works? The works which God prepared in advance for you to do. And you're thinking, wow, and I could have stayed home today. Yeah, the Lord has things prepared for you to do. Some of you are thinking right now of all the stuff that you are getting done for the Lord. Right now you're kind of going, yeah, I'm on track. You know one of the coolest things that I've been seeing of late, and a lot of you have been seeing it, is Natty. Natty's been running that kitchen downstairs, keeping it clean, doing all that cool stuff. Got a Bible study going in her house. How long have you been coming here? Like 6 months?
Since November.
Since November, so 8 months. And I'll tell you what, I talk to people, what do you think of Natty? Oh, yeah, Natty's. She's going to have Bible study on Monday morning. Got a Bible study at her house on Monday night. There's stuff that the Lord has for everybody in this room to do. And I just picked her out because she's a bit shining. But a lot of you guys shine. God is just awesome. Some of you are thinking, well, I would shine. I'm just not getting the message. You know, yesterday I went to the Sprint Man. Because when I got this phone, it had the wrong phone number in it, which I didn't really care about, except I couldn't get my voicemail. Because I would hit the voicemail button, and it would dial the wrong phone number. Now, I knew I was, I'd been putting it off, and I knew I was preaching on this, I was going to do this today, so I had to go yesterday. I said, look, I can't get my voicemails. I don't know how many I got. I might have 150 voicemails packed up. See, when I see that you guys call, I just call back. I said, what'd you call? Did you get my mail? And I said, no, I didn't get your message. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. And so the guy put my right phone up. He reprogrammed it. And I haven't been getting your messages. But guess what? I know you've been leaving them. They had a rack full of them. Just because you're not hearing from the Lord doesn't mean he's not sending them. Just means that your equipment might not be receiving as well as it might. Can I get a witness on that? Like, Lord says, yes, Robert. What? Talking to me? Robert Keith Metz. Talking to me, Lord? Robert, yes, you. I'll catch you later, Lord. Sometimes we can be rather obstinate, like a teenager. I've been working with teenagers in my house. All right. Point number two. That's another day. As a prisoner, same verse. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy. We're going to talk about the worthy life now. The worthy life. God is paying attention to you. God is paying attention to your response. Paul is making an observation here. He says God's paying attention to your life. He's making he's paying attention to the choices that you make, and he's paying attention to what you do with your time. He's paying attention to what you do with your actions. And Paul is making a huge request, and he's saying, "I want you to live a worthy life." Now, as we talked about Paul's call and the sacrifice that he makes, I ask you another question. Do you think Paul leads a worthy life? Come back to what does worthy mean? And the first chunk of that is worth. And it's so wonderful. Lisa's talking about worth. Worship comes from to worth, to attribute worth to God. And so we talk about living a worthy life, and we ask ourselves the question, is Paul's life an appropriate response to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Was he living his life in response to the cross? And if the Lord looked at that, would the Lord be pleased or would he feel ripped off? You know, I don't know. I don't know that much about Paul. Okay, let me make it clearer to you. Some of you know who this man is. That man is, who is that man? You don't know who that man is? That man is Jake Peavy. There it is, my wife, yeah. And he was the star pitcher of the Padres last year. But they traded him. They traded him to the Chicago White Sox for this man and three other pitchers. That man's name is Clayton Richards. Now, it's been over a year. Yeah, I think it was before the trade deadline last year. Over a year since that trade. And you can say, was that a worthy trade? And you have time to take a look at it. We're going to take a look at their records. And this year, Jake Peavy's record was 7-6. And Clayton Richards' record was 9-6. So you say, you know, okay, that's pretty close. How else can we evaluate him? Well, we can evaluate him based on salary. And Jake's salary is $15 million this year. That's why the Padres had to trade him, because they couldn't afford him. And Clayton's salary is the league minimum, $423,000. So you break it down, and Jake's cost per win is $2 million to the Chicago White Sox. And Clayton Richards' cost per win is the bargain of $47,000 per win to the Padres. Now, you take a look at that deal, and you say, was that a good... We're thinking, hey, we got a steal! Also, Jake is on injured reserve. Tore his lat muscle. He's out for the year. So they traded away that guy to get this guy who's injured and can't even pitch anymore, and they're paying him $15 million. We got that guy and three other guys. Clayton Richard wasn't even the best pitcher of the bunch. You say, was it a worthy trade? No. It was totally out of balance. And what Paul is saying, he's saying, I want you to live your lives in a worthy manner. And you say, a manner worthy of what? A manner worthy of the sacrifice of Christ. There's supposed to be another picture up there. I got it coming up in a little bit. God's looking for a response. Do you have one? How is your life measure up to the sacrifice of Christ? What am I talking about? Well, we come to the Lord for rescue. Help me, Lord. Did anybody come here to get rescued by the Lord? Lord, I need your help. I'm in a pit, Lord. Come and find me. Anybody other than me? Anybody else do that? And the Lord saves you, right? And he says he's going to save. He says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, or his ear too dull to hear. Maybe you come in here today and you are needing the touch of the Lord in your life. Maybe you're saying, Lord, I need a rescue. Lord, I need a healing touch in my life. Lord, find me. And I'll tell you what, it is a place to start. And the Lord has called you here today to receive that opportunity. Amen? Amen. But after that, after the Lord touches your life, He puts the fire out in your life, and then he puts you on a life recovery program. You know, it's kind of like going to AA or NA. You know, it's like, hey, you're working the program. Yeah, I'm going to my meetings and all that kind of stuff. I quit drinking. I've been straight for 8 years, 10 years. I've been straight for 21 years now. 20, 21, something like that. What are you doing with your life? Are you living? Lord says, you're on a life recovery program. I got all kinds of stuff for you to do. Are you going to be living my life, or you just want to go back and sit on the couch? He says, I got a whole bunch of stuff for you to do. He says, you're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. Are you living the worthy life? Would God take a look? Here's that picture I was talking about. See, here's the sacrifice of Christ. Your life goes here. I'm not saying you got to earn anything. I'm just saying, Paul says, live a life worthy of what has been invested in you. Live a life worthy of the call of God. And so as you put your life here, now I'm not saying there's anything you're going to do that's going to equal Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you. All you got to do is put here is God's list. Hey, I'm working your list. Dad, you got anything else for me today? I have to tell you, I might start crying if my children said that to me. You got teenagers? That's something you'll never hear. Dad, unless they want money. Dad, you got anything else you want me to do? Your kids just overwhelm you? Dad, is there something else I can clean? You want me to wash your car, Dad? Anything else you want from me today? I think I would start crying. And you know what? Your Father in heaven looks down from heaven. He feels the same way. See, how much time are you giving me today? Where am I at on your to-do list? Am I even on it? Or when I'm ringing, you just put me on the machine. Live a worthy life. Basically comes down to what's the cost? Is your life worthy? You know, you guys, do you guys love my wife?
Yes.
Yeah? Anybody else other than Sandra? Yeah, love my wife, right? You know, if I was at my house, and I was just sitting on my couch, watching the TV, drinking my soda. Lisa! Bring me a soda. Man, not very cold. Hurry it up next time. Let me just, Lisa, this place is a pigsty. Would you come over and clean this stuff up? Try and keep this place clean. So you guys would be saying, he's not worthy of her. Amen? And so Paul says, I want you to live a life that's worthy of Jesus Christ. My question is, what do you do when he rings? Voicemail? Or do you come running? Point number three, rules for the response. Paul gives us some direction. Paul gives us two ways to advance. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Notice that there is no please here. Please be gentle. Please be patient. No, this is a command. He is ordering you. Be patient, bear with one another in love. Humble. What does humble mean? Don't think of yourself too highly. You know some folks with that issue? Like, oh yeah. Sometimes you just got to look in a mirror. Don't think of yourself too highly. Don't be arrogant. Don't be prideful. Because why? Because God loves the other guy just as much as he loves you. Can I get a witness on that? And they go, okay, but I get the whole love thing, but this guy is so far off track. Ugh, trying my heart here. I said, when it comes to following the Lord, all of us are miles off track. Paul says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each one of us is miles from the truth. And it is God's grace that enables him to even look at us and not squash us like bugs. Amen? And so for you to say, you know, it's like, oh, well, he's really messed up. And the Lord's going, man, you're all so messed up. It is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that makes it all able to work. So don't think of yourself too highly. Because that other guy that you think is the worst guy on the planet, he's not too much worse than you. And he says, I want you to be patient. Patient with who? That other guy. Why? Because the Lord is patient with you. Why do we got to be patient? We got to be patient with people's shortcomings. You know what I found? The Lord is patient with my shortcomings. Lisa says, don't you ever work on anything that you got to work on? I say, I work on my stuff every day. Well, I messed up here and here and here. So I get up at like 6, she gets up at 7. The first hour, I just work on my messed up stuff. So I'm tracking with the Lord. He's already just done, kind of molded me today. Be patient with the other guy. Bear with one another in love. The Lord's been working with me for 20 years. Next year, he's going to be working on me for 21. When I die, I still think I'm going to have a learning program in heaven. This is all the stuff you got to learn that you didn't pick up down there. That's okay. I have eternity to learn how awesome our Lord Jesus Christ is. Amen. He said, you should be patient because I'm patient with you. And I have a question to ask. You might be asking a question. Does this mean that we tolerate sin? Yes. And no. We're all messed up. And we all mess up. Now, if you are genuine in your obedience to God, you're going to be getting better. Now, he does not expect perfection. He applies perfection to your account. So, but he does expect you to be working on it. He does expect you to be trying to live better. Be living a worthy life. And he's seeing improvement. He's fine with improvement. The problem is when we just start sitting down there going, Lord, clean this up for me. He's got a problem with that. We have to be trying to do. Let me just read this. We have got to be trying to be doing better. We need to be working on it. God is looking for some sweat. I know women don't sweat, they glow. So God is looking for some glow or sweat, depending on how he engineered you. Paul says, again, there is no please here. Make every effort, not make some effort, not make a little effort. You know, make every effort. What's every effort? Every effort you got. He says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. He says, I am expecting effort from you. I am expecting sweat. Does that look like effort? That's what God wants from you. Effort. Yeah, see him. You know, that's glow. Sweat, glow. And effort. God is saying, I need you to put forth an effort to draw close to me. Paul gets real concrete. I want you working hard. Talking about unity in the body of Christ. We'll talk about a little bit more about that next week. But the effort thing works with the worthy thing. God wants you to have an effort-filled life. He wants you to have a worthy life. And that doesn't really sing in our culture. What do we like in our culture? Exercise without effort. It's got blank pages in it. You can spend $10. There's nothing, no writing in that book. Here you go. There you go. It's like, hey, effortless fat loss. Audio session. You don't even have to read. Just, you know, try to waddle on over to the DVD player and play that bad boy, and you just start losing fat right now. It's like, hey, zero effort selling. That's the job I want. You see those ads, you know, $50K a month at home part-time. What, and you're signing people up for that? You know, it's like, I made $50 million last year. I'll show you how for $500. What do you need my $500 for if you made $50 million last year? Some of this stuff just doesn't make sense. You got to be wise on this stuff. Our culture is not into effort. Guess what? Back in the day, their culture wasn't into effort either. God is not about your comfort. God is about the advancement and your position in the kingdom of God. Jesus says, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And he's saying, and he draws this picture of the church as this huge force advancing against the gates of Hades. It's not like the devil's going to be pounding down our doors. It's like we're moving ahead, and nothing is going to restrain or resist the kingdom of God. For that to happen, you need to be living worthy lives. For that to happen, you've got to be putting in great effort. Amen? The church. Oh, that's the wrong picture. That's supposed to be the other picture. That's where it went. The church advancing. Are you in on it? Are you part of it? Lined up and ready to go? Oh, actually, that is right. Because that's the end. The worthy life. Your life goes here. God's calling. You gonna answer? What is your answer? I'm too busy for you right now. 20 years ago, I was at a service. Not so unlike this service. Man was preaching on the opportunities in Costa Rica, working with kids, starting a computer school. Lord called me. There was probably 1,500 people in that audience, and maybe 300 went down front. Lord spoke to my heart as clear as I'm speaking to you right now. He says, I have a work for you. I went running down to that altar. Changed my life. Realistically, indirectly, changed your life too. Because if I hadn't went to that altar 20 years ago, I wouldn't be here today. And if Lisa and I weren't here today, I don't know how many. Well, I guess Gene would be here. Because Gene was here before we left. I think everybody else, except for Jimmy. Jimmy comes with Gene. I believe everybody else in this room has come since we've come. Lord will change your life. Lord says, this is the deal right here. This is what I'm offering. I want you here. I want your life here. And he says, live a worthy life. We close our time today. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table. He says, when you come together, it's part of the stuff that we do. I want you to remember my sacrifice on the cross for you. Pastor Dave, you want to come up? Pastor Ramiro? Ramiro, come on up. Johnny. Hold these elements. We get done. Go ahead and begin to pass them out, gentlemen. Lord said on the night he was betrayed, as often as you gather, do this in remembrance of me. I want you to remember that investment that was made in your life. I want you to understand that there is a response. There's a call that goes out. You got to pick it up. It's Dad calling. Hope your answer is, Dad, is there anything else you want me to do today?